Hey guys, welcome to the newest episode of the SaaS Sessions podcast. I have an amazing guest today from the beautiful Australia. I have Joanna Inch. So she's passionate about digital marketing and she's been in this space since 15 years. She's the co-founder of Hat Media, which is based in Australia, which is a growth-driven marketing agency with clients including Canon, Lenovo, Pepsi, Dell, EMC, and more. She also runs Frisbee, which is a video production agency, and sort of which is what we are going to talk about today on the podcast about, you know, videos or virtual events or webinars per se. So hey, Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the introduction.
So is there anything you want the listeners to know about you? What do you do?
I think you pretty much covered it really well. So I've pretty much been in the digital marketing space for the last 15 to 16 years with my own company, which is mainly Hat Media. And we specifically focus on SaaS and technology clients in the B2B space. And like you said, video marketing and specifically webinar marketing is something we've been pretty focused on. And it's with right now what's going on in the world, it's definitely something that's been trending a lot in the last 24 hours even.
Great. So yeah, and can you tell us more about like White Hat Media and what do you do?
Yeah, sure. Well, we got started back before Facebook was even alive, mainly doing Google AdWords and SEO and building websites with the user in mind. We've come a long way since then. And I think partly the reason for our success has just been being able to adapt and adopt new technologies, you know, mainly in the content marketing space and the marketing automation space as well. So we now very much focus on content marketing. We utilize tools such as HubSpot, Eloqua, Pardot, and Salesforce. We do all types of social media marketing, LinkedIn specifically, as well as Facebook and Instagram. So we've definitely come a long way since 15 years ago when none of that was actually around.
Nice. That's really great. Yeah, and talking about, like, you know, the current situation in the world and, like, you know, how B2B market companies are, you know, sitting through this situation. I think there's one new channel which is really trending, which is like webinars. So do you think like it's like in the zeitgeist, like this whole channel, the webinar, like its time has come, and like, you know, most of the companies would not include webinars in their marketing channels or marketing strategies before are now implementing.
Absolutely. Even before COVID-19, webinars, they weren't as trending back then. So just to give you perspective on this, just in the last 24 hours, there's been over 10,000 searches for the word webinar. And if you look at Google Trends data, back in December last year, or even January of this year, the trending score was 5 out of 100, which is extremely low. If you look at it right now, it's 100 out of 100, which is the highest rank you could possibly get. So I think a lot of companies and businesses are realizing, you know, obviously we can't be doing events, we can't be doing sales meetings because we have to implement social distancing. Webinars is really the only way to go. And in the software industry specifically, they were the leaders in webinars already. They had the highest percentage of companies that were using and utilizing webinars at about 29%. So now that percentage has definitely grown and other industries have caught on. And I think if you're not doing webinar marketing right now, you're definitely falling behind your competitors. And it's something you should definitely look at and utilize.
Awesome. So like how should a startup or, you know, how should a company who has never done webinars before can get started with webinars today?
Yeah, I mean, you can get started just by firstly educating yourself. I mean, you've more than likely been on some existing webinars. If you look at content from the likes of Zoom, On24 and also WebEx, you'll see quite a lot of engaging content that they provide on how to utilize webinars. You can also go on our own Hat Media website and look at the webinar marketing plan landing page just to see 8 crucial points that you should be focusing on when doing webinars. And just to give you a few, one, of course, is you should make sure that in the webinars, the content that you share is very much top of funnel and it focuses on solving your buyer persona's pain points. One mistake that a lot of software companies make specifically is they use the webinar and most of the time in that webinar to share the features of their software, which can be quite boring and it's not very engaging, especially people that have come along to watch, you know, content that's supposed to help them. So my recommendation is find out what your customer's biggest pain points are and aim to solve that problem first in your webinar. So put together the content strategy, put together your deck. You then have a really good idea of what you're going to be talking about. So firstly, get your content right. Make sure it solves problems. The second step really is finding out which platform you want to use. And you can use anything such as Zoom and ON24 and WebEx. It really makes no difference. But make sure you watch webinars from those specific platforms. Just to give you an example, with Zoom, they take you through a really good webinar of some of their features. So you get an understanding of how to create more engaging webinars. For example, you can use the polls or the question and answer tool or even the chat box within the webinars. And for somebody who's doing a webinar for the first time, they wouldn't be familiar with that. So really good to just jump on those webinars and familiarize yourself with some of the tools that you can utilize. You need to think about how you're going to promote your webinar. Where are your buyer personas? So if you're in the B2B space, then obviously you need to be sharing this on LinkedIn. One thing you can do is create an event on LinkedIn where people can find it and join it. Make sure that they're registering, you know, on a platform like Zoom, for example, they have to fill out a form. So make sure they're filling out that form so you know exactly who they are. And Zoom can deliver email reminders to them just to remind them that the webinar's coming up. And it does a 7-day prior reminder as well as 24 hours and 1 hour prior to the webinar as well. So it's really important to make sure your registrations are getting those reminder emails. Otherwise, they'll completely forget about the webinar.
I think these are some great best practices that, you know, people can follow. Like, you know, if they're just getting started with, you know, webinar marketing generally. So like, as you said, right? So webinar should, when you're starting out, webinar should be like, you know, top of the funnel, and which should attract or which should solve like a pain point. So what do you think about, you know, involving an influencer into this webinar? So for example, let's say if you're in B2B sales, like your product is selling to say sales guys, right, in the B2B space. So, you know, calling someone like who's a sales leader from a big company to, you know, to talk about the pain points that your product solves, or maybe about the industry on the webinar and like doing the webinar with this person, and like just to drive traction. So what do you think about, you know, using influencers for webinars?
I think that's an absolute brilliant idea. I much prefer running webinars when I have guests on the webinar as well. So just to give you some insight, late last year, I ran a selling SaaS webinar, and my content probably lasted about 20 to 30 minutes. And it was very much about marketing and selling your SaaS and using lead gen and lead nurture tactics. But then I really wanted to give a holistic approach to selling software to my audience. So I actually invited a guest that used to work at Salesforce and also HubSpot. And she's Laura Sully from HubSpot at the moment. She very much talked about how to use the tools to retain your customers. And then I also had another guest, Stuart Marshall, who's he's basically been a software engineer for the last 25 years. So he actually took a completely different approach and he looked at it from the software side of things. And I think having those different guests with different expertise, it definitely added so much more value than what I could have done on my own. My last webinar as well, I spoke mainly about customer journeys. And I invited social selling expert Joe Escobedo from Singapore on it. And he had some amazing insights to add. So I think definitely if you can approach influencers, or even guests that you can find on LinkedIn. Number one, it does make your webinar a whole lot more valuable and entertaining, but also it allows you to tap into their audiences as well. So they can share news of this webinar on their LinkedIn portal. So you do end up getting a lot more registrations.
So I think you just talked about, like, you know, getting this more registrations for the webinar. So more registrations is a good thing. Mm-hmm. That means there are more leads for you. But how do you go about, you know, determining the ROI for the webinar?
Yes, absolutely. So definitely if you can link and integrate your webinar platform to your marketing automation platform, that's a really good start. Personally, I use Zoom for my webinars and I use HubSpot for my marketing automation. So those two integrate natively together. So anybody that registers for my webinar, I all of a sudden I have them in my HubSpot platform. I have a workflow there where I can email nurture them as well. And they go into my CRM and I can track every step of the way. You know, what actions are they taking and how long does it take them to become a customer?
So that's really great. And like, you know, in terms of, so you have done a lot of webinars for yourself and for, you know, helped other mm-hmm. companies run webinars as well. So what's like the typical conversion rate that you would see, you know, in terms of registrations to attendee and in terms of attendee to, you know, getting a connect post webinar? Because I think most of the people would be who are just starting out, you know, to do webinars. Mm-hmm. They would want to know what are the, you know, good conversion rates that they can see.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely noticed with webinars, the conversion rate goes up extensively when you compare it to if you were to do ebooks, for example. So think of it as an alternative to ebooks. So instead of capturing people into your marketing automation platform through ebooks, you do it through webinars. And what does that do? All of a sudden, you get a higher registration rate because a lot more people, especially now, they much prefer to watch a webinar and kind of sit back and relax and take that content in over the space of, say, 45 minutes to an hour, instead of having to download an ebook, you know, possibly printing it out and then reading it. What's good for the advertiser as well is with webinars, you know that people have actually attended and watched the whole content that you're sharing with them. Whereas with the ebook, you're not sure if they have read it. You know they've downloaded it, but most of the times down the track when you do get in touch with them, you actually realize that they haven't read the ebook. It's just been sitting on their reading list for a while. So in terms of how many people actually register and then engage with your content, it's the conversion rate is a lot higher for webinars. In my personal experience as well, from myself and for my clients, I've noticed that with webinars, the sales length cycle actually shortens. So normally in the B2B space, you can expect to close clients anywhere between 6 to 24 months. Really depends on the industry and also what kind of clients are you targeting. Are they at the enterprise level or are they at the startup level? So what I've noticed is the use of webinars brings that sales conversion cycle closer to 6 months as opposed to 24 months. So it definitely works better to close leads quicker.
Great. And so can you tell us more about the post-webinar cycle that you run typically on the leads that are generated from a webinar?
Yeah, so the very first webinar, I suppose, is you have to make it, once again, you have to solve their pain points and you have to solve their internal pain points. Like what's keeping them up at night? What's going to help them with their day-to-day tasks? How can you help them? So mine, because I'm in the digital marketing space, I very much focus on, you know, how do you do marketing automation? How do you generate leads through webinars? How can you sell your software? You know, if you're at the startup level, what can you do yourself just to really scale and get that initial ARR before you go ahead and hire an agency to help you with that? So what do? I obviously first focus on that content. I do some research around what does my buyer persona actually want to hear? What are their pain points that I can solve? Once I've got my deck ready, I pretty much promote it through LinkedIn because that's where my buyer personas are. So I create an event, I do quite a bit of social media posting around the webinar. I share it. And yeah, the main thing I think that helps as well is partnering with other guests and influencers, because they can then share it with their network of people as well. So usually we get over a 4-week period, which is how long I recommend you market a webinar for, especially in the last week, because what you notice with webinars is you probably get 59% of registrations in the last 7 days. People really register in that last 7 days. If it's any greater than that, they kind of ignore it. They feel like it's too long a time for them. So really you need to ramp up your advertising and promotion of the webinar in the last 7 days prior to the webinar. So I do a little bit of advertising around it. And then I think one of the most important things that people fail to realize is it's really important what you do after the webinar. And yeah, after the webinar, I recommend reaching out to the people that attended the webinar just through LinkedIn emails, for example. You can connect with them and just ask them for feedback on the webinar. What did you think of the content? Do you have any questions? So it really opens up a lot of conversations, and especially because you know they've attended and you know they've consumed all of that content, it really gives you a much further down conversation that you can have with them. It's not a cold conversation. It's warm. They've already heard you speak for a good 45 minutes, and they're very much open to, you know, continue that conversation.
I'm totally with you there. You know, so the post webinar cycle or post webinar actions are very, very important. So once you've done the webinar, it's just not like, you know, it's like done and then that, you know, and then you move on to the next webinar. It's really, really important to have, you know, post webinar cycle, which will help you generate, you know, good ROI from the webinar that you have done. So which brings to the point, like, you know, about repurposing of webinars. So or making webinars available on demand, so which makes them like an evergreen channel. So most of the content, most of the webinars that you do or that any company would do, like, you know, the content discussed in the webinar would, you know, be relevant even after the webinar has been done for another six months or a year or so. So do you think like it's a good practice to, you know, repurpose your webinars or, you know, keep them on available on demand even after the live webinar has been over so that people can go and watch it?
Absolutely spot on. And this is something I recommend to a lot of my clients. I say, don't go ahead and produce, you know, blogs or ebooks or articles. Do a webinar and transcribe what the conversation was, because more than likely you can use a platform like Zoom to record it, or even just transcribe through your mobile app like Otter. An app like Otter can transcribe it really well. And then take that and turn it into an ebook and turn it into, you know, some blogs as well. You can definitely repurpose it, turn it into some social media content as well, just small posts on LinkedIn, for example, and then with a link back to the full webinar that people can go ahead and download if they are interested in your posts. You can also make the webinar on demand. So you don't have to be doing live webinars, you know, every week or every month. You can do one bit of content. I'd say I personally like to do them every 2 to 3 months, but I think you can go as long as 6 months using the same bit of content from the one webinar.
Right. So I think there are a lot of best practices and a lot of things that we discussed, so that would really help someone to get started on the webinar as well, and use this as a, you know, as a main channel of marketing, the main marketing strategy. Great. So now I have like a few questions for the lightning round or the rapid fire questions. So maybe you can answer something which comes onto your mind immediately. So Joanna, like, what's your favorite book that you would recommend to the listeners, since everyone has got a lot of time on their hand?
Oh God, I've got so many at the moment, and I'm reading 3 books at the same time, and I'm a massive book nerd. So it really depends what I'm in the mood for. But at the moment, and given the situation at the moment with COVID, one book that I absolutely recommend everybody purchase right now and read is called The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. It really brings things into perspective for you, and it really allows you to have that mindset to deal with difficult times. And yeah, definitely recommended. And if you're in the software space, one book that I'd highly recommend you get, it's called From Impossible to Inevitable, How SaaS and Other Hypergrowth Companies Create Predictable Revenue. And it's written by Aaron Ross and Jason Lemkin, who's the founder of SaaStar. I think you may have heard of that one.
Yeah. So we're actually having Aaron Ross on one of our webinars shortly.
Oh, cool.
So what keeps you going? Like, what's the motivation for you?
Probably my children. They don't let me stay in bed for too long. So that's one thing. I suppose my dream, I think my 10-year goal is to create my own SaaS. So the fact that I can help SaaS at the moment and just learn as much about them as possible definitely keeps me going. All these innovations, I absolutely love learning about all these innovations and new technologies that come out and just help everybody's lives by simplifying them and just by improving them and making us more productive.
That's really great. And like, what's the one thing that you would, you know, tell your 25-year-old self? Like, if you could call your 25-year-old self, what would you say to them?
I'd say, if you thought you were busy, Dan, you're kidding yourself. You can definitely do more with your time.
So, yeah, thanks a lot, Joanna, for taking time and, you know, coming on the SaaS Sessions podcast. And it's really wonderful to have you. And I think we discussed a lot of great things about, you know, webinars. And I think it'll be really helpful to the listeners as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed being a guest of yours. And whilst we're on the topic of webinars, if I could just leave you with one final advice, given our COVID situation at the moment, and especially if you're based in Australia, if you're planning of doing a webinar, I would consider doing one at nighttime, like past 7:30 p.m., only because if you think about your target audience at the moment, it's very likely that they're homeschooling their children. So during the day, it would be a really tough and challenging time for them to do anything, especially watch a webinar. So definitely consider doing some nighttime webinars. My experience with a few clients lately has been when they have done that, the registration and attendance rate have just gone through the roof. It's been really effective. So just a little tip for right now, these times.
Awesome. That's really helpful. Great. So yeah, thanks a lot, Joanna.